see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. Rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of the show, Watching for Jesus program show. And today, Friday, 13th of February, Friday the 13th, superstition nonsense. We're conditioned, even in play. I don't think I'm going out today. Why? It's Friday the 13th. So what? You had a Friday the 13th for generations upon generations. So what? Superstition. Someone that was one time, well, we'll just say watching over me, and not in a good way, keeping her eyes on me, visited me one day, and long story short, from a distance afar, and came to see what I was doing, how I did things. On the pretense of being friendship, but there was something else later. That's another story. But the person asked me, and I found some unusual questions in this person's interest. Said, "You wear that T-shirt, the karate shirt." I said, "Yeah." Does that somehow make you feel stronger or more aggressive, or when you do the broadcast?" I said, "No." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "No, the shirt fits. I wear it because it fits. It's looser. It's comfortable." Well, you ask me a question like that for? That was odd. That's when my red flag went up. I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I don't wear it because of some superstitious or philosophical or some deep reason. I wear it because the darn thing fits. You know, what's going on here? Why this ridiculous question?" Superstition guides us because we're taught in this world that superstition. It's a cult. It's satanic, not to go over the edge, but it's a fact that that's what superstition is based on. is horoscopes and fortune cookies and going to a seance and all this stuff, they will tell you things is true. You know why? Because of demons that you've authorized to come inside you to watch you, because you have given permission by actively pursuing these endeavors, Ouija board, seances, fortune tellers, horoscopes, all these things. For me to do them, I've given permission for the occult to operate in my life. That's what happens. When you take this so-called Mark of the Beast digital tattoo thing, which is only a part of the beast system coming yet, that's the RFID, little reading laser things on your products. They're going to place that RFID thing on your skin. So you won't even have to, you know, cards at all. And they show you on some of these commercials, these hundreds of cards that you have, isn't that so cumbersome and so difficult to replace them? Imagine that. Wouldn't it be easier just to, gosh, have a wearable little wrist, something or other, or a digital tattoo that they've, that DARPA has contracted for design, it's being used now. Up in Switzerland, they require them to wear this digital tattoo, microchip, whatever. And isn't it nice that for your children, they can have a Batman digital tattoo on their skin, just like the heroes on the football field. Wow. And the basketball players, it's signed their life over to Lucifer to lie, cheat, and steal on the basketball court in Super Bowl. They can be your heroes. Like in the days of the 30s and 40s and 50s, it was a time of nuclear family, right? Father knows best kind of thing going on, and father is the breadwinner, goes to work, and the wife is home cooking whatever, doing her motherly things, and the little kiddies are off to school getting brainwashed by the human system in every country, by the way, not just America, every country. And so that all changed in the 60s. Imagine that. All of a sudden, in one decade, everything changes. Now, what are the chances of that happening? All of a sudden, the 60s, then launched into the 70s, 80s, man, the whole system went upside down. Yeah, that was planned through Tavistock, a behavioral think tank, by design. It all changed. Everything went backwards, went upside down, inside out, and the whole system went haywire. And we started not winning wars, which we've never really done. We started neutralizing the, making the results of the war is neutral, long-lasting. Yeah, long-lasting, and long-lasting means more death. Well, the education system is more focused on humanism. Family, that's by design. I can tell you who, how, when, where, and I have for the past 3 weeks. I've been laying it out. Exactly who and exactly how. You're dealing with a Luciferian, Lucifer-worshipping, Satan-worshipping system worldwide. A new world order is coming abreast. Today, I will give you, actually kind of turns out to be, well, unfortunately only 2 hours, but I could go three or four today, but I know I'm only allowed like two, given certain technological restrictions and I'm going to lay out a summary today somewhat of what I've been talking about for the past 3 weeks. And this is inclusive of what I decided to talk about an hour and a half ago. The rules of engagement, you generals, as you're listening, or colonels, or retirees that are in the military, you like me or don't like me, I don't really care. I will expose it all. Because I am an American, and I do care about the truth, and I don't follow any blood oath of the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits, Rhodes Scholars, and so forth that are restrained and restricted by their blood oath to kill, lie, cheat, murder. And then you have some good folks out there that are pulled into this because of fear of losing their job, losing their retirement, or they're fooled into thinking that this new world order is a good thing. Did you all know that in the past two or three days that three major journalists have died? Carr, Simon, and Colt. Simon Srebrenica, that big lie. Colt, Carr, Team 6. Some strange things going on here. Is it open season on journalists that are not cooperating? After all, 300 microbiologists were killed from 2006 to 2008. It didn't pay to be a microbiologist working as a contractor for the government. It didn't pay at all. What it paid was the funeral directors. I'm just sure, though, it was only coincidence. Being extremely facetious, as I am in cases like this, I do what it takes sometimes within the Holy Spirit's restraint. I do what it takes to get people's attention, even in my own expense. I've been teaching since 1975, Marines, anti-terrorist experts, and I've been teaching them. I've been in three conflict zones, never shot at, really. Told they was going to kill me a couple of times in Kosovo, but one time surrounded by seven terrorists, whoopee-doo. But so I've been in some areas that were potentially dangerous, but have not had that baptism of fire that separates even Marines. I sought those situations, but I guess the Lord didn't put me there. I don't know. But I gained a lot of knowledge, and I am official whistleblower against the United Nations and against the U.S. foreign policy, to say the least. I'm documented, it's verified, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so forth and so on. All I'm trying to do is establish my credibility that I didn't just fall off a tater truck yesterday. I know what the dickens I'm talking about and can prove every word I say. If I can prove it, I don't say it. That being said, enough. I'm going to tell you a whole lot of things today. I hope that, given the time, that will bring things together so you will do your own research and not depend on others. You do it. You challenge everything you hear. Don't be lazy. You go after it like I have. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm not special more than anybody else at all. Not, matter of fact, not even close. But I will dog determined find the truth no matter what. I will search for it. I don't like that little dog nagging on my pants leg. I want to find out. And I go after it. So why can't anybody else? I'm not restrained by a blood oath by some Freemason or secret society members. They don't restrain me. I'm not a slave anymore. I never have been, actually, except in the military, Marine Corps. That's the only time that I was under any kind of a obligation, per se. When I left the Marine Corps, I just went hog wild. I'm under no restraint except what God put upon my heart to do the right thing. I don't mind that restraint. That's a good restraint. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to jump into what I'm going to talk about, and I've got to get what I've got to get said in the next 45 minutes because I want to give you audio and video evidence of what I'm talking about. So I better get started, huh? Lord, thank you today. Father, at the end of the week, we thank you, Lord, that you got us through this past week. Father, we pray you touch us today with your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Father. Guide me, Lord, as I talk today in this broadcast. And Father, in your words, Father, forgive me in my sins, my impatience sometimes, Lord, that I'm not always patient with people, and Father, I call upon you to give me that patience. Father, I do call upon you today to touch others with your Holy Spirit, to open up their minds and open up their hearts, and, Father, to give them that drive, that courage to step out and to go after the truth. Father, to convict those under the blood oaths that they're under, to renounce those blood oaths and get out of these secret societies, and out from under the bondage of Satan in all cases of these secret societies. That every single one of them, Lord, we know are following the precepts of Lucifer, of Satan, hidden under the guise of good deeds and saying good things and doing good things, but that's a, Father, we know is a false outward appearance. To, Father, to expose the darkness within by whistleblowers from the secret societies to come out with courage, to renounce the blood oath they made in your name, to renounce it, ask for forgiveness, and Father, you'll forgive them because you've promised. They're no longer under the control of these blood oaths, and they're under, Father, the direction of good through your Holy Spirit, no longer tied down by these blood oaths. Father, to protect them when they do this, to give them the opportunity to speak without interference, without fear. Father, we call upon you to touch these churches and to give these pastors and preachers and rabbis and priests that know what the truth is to finally just get out from under the government control that most of them are in, to not give up because they see the vastness in this secular world, that, Father, it's only temporary, no matter how powerful that the world may seem. It's only temporary, and the power is only a facade. That the true power lies in the Holy Spirit, in God the Creator, and the return of Jesus Christ to put things right. But, Father, we know we have to go through that judgment. We need the truth, Lord, to touch others with this truth. We pray for children to wake up. We pray for children, the parents, to protect their children, to find out what's going on today in these school systems that are corrupting the minds of our children worldwide. Lord, we need that Holy Spirit to bring this out. And, Father, protect our veterans that are being targeted for genocide by our own country and the countries of the New World Order to take down our country specifically. Father, we need that truth to come out for these whistleblowers, to renounce the blood oaths they're under and expose this conspiracy against our own government, against our own veterans. And to bring to light, Father, the true word of the gospel in the King James Bible. And, Father, to bring those watchmen out that knows what's going on deep within the bowels of the satanic organization. We need that supernatural power, Lord, to put the stops to the Wicca in Oregon. Father, to stifle their magic circles, to stifle their praying to Lucifer and Satan, to stifle their efforts in Oregon and those in Texas and in the Southwest that are pushing for this child euthanasia. Lord, to expose this lie that they're doing up there and to take down their efforts. Strip them of their protection. And those within these groups, Lord, to bind the Holy Spirit to the hearts of those, Father, you know can be whistleblowers to expose this agenda. Father, we pray deeply. We pray specifically. And lastly, Father, we pray for those we've prayed for in the past for healing, to bring families together, to bring back that family orientation, Lord, that is going to lead their children to Jesus Christ and their families to Jesus Christ and their close friends to Jesus Christ. But, Father, we know the time will come when those tribulations will begin. But before then, Lord, we call upon your help supernaturally to spread the gospel through us. This we pray in the name of our son, name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Then we've got a fairly decent crowd today on my website, and I don't know today. If you would do me a favor twice this broadcast, would go to TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com. And you click on my picture somewhere there in that vast array of other broadcasters and click it. And then it'll take you to a page. And then you click Watch for Jesus little bar there to the side. Click that. And if a media player comes up, you can listen there. Or you can click it off and go back to my website, whichever you desire. But the main thing is to click that bar. And that puts like a vote that it kind of counts you as listening. And it tells me where I stand within the other broadcasters. I don't get anything for this. I just want to move my picture up so I can at least bring other people in. Because most people just look at the first 10 and just start picking. Now, I'm not looking to gain anything. I'm not running for governor. I'm not doing any kind of financial endeavors. I just want to get the truth out. That's it. That's all. Nothing else. And God gave me this network in a certain way that certain people know about, but I acquired it along the way. I never in my life, even to the day I opened my first broadcast 5 years ago, I never, ever, even then, endeavored to be a broadcaster on radio, ever. My background is anti-terrorism, going after bad guys or training people to go after bad guys or training cops in my own business I had a long time ago. I trained instructors for cops in a contracting business I had. Is my own. I train people to help people. I train people to go after people. And yes, I train the Marines to train people to kill people. I train myself to be a weapon. I trained myself since 1975 up to 2007, 2008 and 10. I've always trained myself to be my own personal weapon, to know how to improvise devices, how to take weapons that don't look like weapons and make them weapons, how to teach people to do that and teach people to teach people to do that. That was my mindset. So never to be a broadcaster, ever to be one, was never, ever in my plans at any time in my life. Yet I've been doing it now, no pun intended, religiously for the past 5 years, 5 days a week. And when I first started, the first 3 years was a three-hour program. 3 hours, I'd run out of time. Needed more time, so I had to wait the next day. Family, I'm trying to bring the truth out, and I have no restraint. I don't work for anybody, no blood oaths, no organization, no movement, no patriot system, no tea party, no milk party, cow party, whatever party. I'm not part of any kind of party. I don't even go to parties. I belong to nobody but Jesus. I have friends that send me stuff every now and then. Well, some of them I got often. I ask people to listen to my broadcast and give me a critique after, because sometimes I don't remember what I've said because I just go with the flow. I don't know flow, but flow works at the cafeteria. Family, I am a southern boy. I'm old-fashioned. But I go with the flow. You know something? Even as you learn about this grand conspiracy, it might overwhelm many people and overshadow what we know. However, let it not. This is what they want. The average American don't even get into this. So they're not worried about them. Because the average American, 80-90%, are listening to the news and actually think they tell the truth. They watch TV, and 100% of every program, when you turn the TV on, to the time you turn it off, no matter if it's a reality show, even Congress, I don't care what it is, State of the Union, it don't matter. It's all scripted to brainwash you, literally. And that's a fact. Survivor, Dancing with the Stars, America's Got Talent, it's all scripted out. It's all baloney. They know who's going to win. They know how they're going to win. It's all acted. And we hire election, that's another story. Governors that are actors and actresses. Actors. Reagan is a loser. And Schwarzenegger. And Ventura. Man, these are all liars, man. Every one of them have lied. Or Nazis. Or Luciferian. Every one of them. And those that weren't, well, they got something in common. And truth tellers. They got something in common. Real truth tellers. Not the ones under Operation Mockingbird that tell you it's part of the truth and lie the rest after they get your confidence. The real ones have something in common. They're all dead. Assassinated in some way. Strokes, heart attacks, accidents. Being shot. For all of them. Especially the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Every one of them. Russo. Senator Schaefer. Bill Cooper. Barry Jennings. It'll be JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, that guy in the Beatles. Every one of them that started telling the truth are dead. Notice that. And the ones that yak a day are alive, or something wrong there. Something's not quite right. And they leave out things like the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and they blame it on the bankers, but the bankers are nothing but boys that shine the shoes. Eric Holder's like a dime a dozen. They blame Eric Holder. He's nothing. It's like having a fire in a mall, and you blame the shoeshine boy. It's not, that's all they are. It's all Eric Holder. These guys like that are nothing. A dime a dozen could be replaced in a phone call. For the average American to study this conspiracy is mind-boggling, to say the least. We've all been through it, but some of us stuck with it. To become mind-boggled and quit is what they want. For those that don't know, they're being led by the humanists in schools and lukewarm Christianity that's out there today, that's being taught in most churches today, or this megachurch nonsense. Everybody gets into the ethereal feeling of it, the rock and roll Christian music nonsense. People are into the New Age deceit to keep people placated. If you know who are the conspiracy, if you understand it, you're starting to learn about it. If you see them as unstoppable, so what they people say, what's the use? What's the use of even trying to stop it or go against it or to expose it? Well, if you don't, in your sphere of existence, people think, well, what's the use of? What you do is you forfeit an opportunity to expose it if you don't. To those that don't know, God will send them to you. And then when you expose it, they become bewildered. They want to know the truth or they'll run away. If they want to know the truth, you'll have an opportunity for the real purpose of you exposing it to witness about Jesus. That's the bottom line, really. If that person rejects the notion about the conspiracy or rejects the free offer of salvation, you've at least planted a thought, a seed, for God to work in their lives. This conspiracy has been delayed many times already because of what you, as born again, you as Christians that follow Jesus, have done. Or has used the evil to delay itself. It's not time yet. But each delay has been an opportunity for someone to accept Jesus Christ. Each delay is an opportunity for someone to accept Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line, especially for returning veterans who have been targeted by the very system that's trained them. And we've depended upon as military, as Marines. They've trained us well. Now they're trying to take us down because they belong to the secret societies. Your generals, your colonels, senators, CEOs belong to the Luciferian, Lucifer-worshipping secret societies. Generals who have medals of honor, medals of cross, Navy crosses and so forth, have taken the blood oath to then start to lie, to cheat and steal. And he come up with these rules of engagement that were designed to make sure you lose in Korea, to make sure they lost in Vietnam, to make sure the number of veterans died either immediately or after in Iraq and Afghanistan. And any veteran coming back to tell the truth that had credibility was killed. Chris Kyle, Pat Tillman, Lord knows how many more. They are targeted to keep them quiet. And the Joint Chief of Staff are guilty. The members that are the members of the Council of Foreign Relations, who are also Joint Chief of Staff and other organizations, are guilty. And if there were actually some organization to try them, should be tried for murder. Churchill is guilty, and J.P. Morgan were guilty of the murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania, literally, on purpose, and directly. Fact. So was FDR and Churchill, who planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s. That's a fact. Y'all getting the idea here of what's really going on? And the good military commanders that see it happening around them are quiet because of not wanting to lose a retirement, or they see it too big for them to do anything. The military is perfectly targeted, but here's something that is a double-edged sword. You see, once you connect the dots, which is what they don't want you to do, but once you do it, once your eyes are open to this true conspiracy, you can never go back to the childlike safety of ignorance. They think you're a nobody. They are in control of this world because Satan is God of this world for the time being. He controls them at the highest level of government, of military, of industry, criminality, secret societies, church organizations, because they relented their control to a supernatural being that they communicate with. But one thing they can't do is they'll never take over this world when it's time for the tribulations. Their complete structure will be destroyed. Of that there's no question. They're the ones in fear. Otherwise, why would they have so many controls? They're the ones afraid of you. So they keep you from connecting the dots. Now, the U.S. government wouldn't cover up a foreign government's murder of our own military men now, would it? On June 8, 1967, Israel attacked the naval vessel USS Liberty in international waters. Tried to sink it. Bombarded for hours. After checking the Liberty out for 8 hours, making 9 overflights with Israeli jets within 200 feet, close enough for the pilots and the sunbathing Liberty sailors on deck to wave at each other, yet these lying Israelis, I don't count them as Jews at all, Hebrew Jews, they will take over. Those are fake Jews they have in Israel today. But that's God's business, not ours. They're even admitting that they're Khazars and Ashkenazi now. They're admitting everything. They're admitting it. Some groups come out and said it. It's like laid on a silver platter. Star of David. That's a hexagram. Our own pentagram, stars and stripes, what that's for is pentagrams. Witchcraft. I'm sorry, but it is. And the Muslim flag, that half-moon star in the green, that's satanic. Allah is moon god, is Satan. And the morning star is Lucifer, the morning star. Star of the morning. Satan, that's what that means. And the green is Satan's color. Green, dark green. Black for, that's Lucifer. Black is Satan. These colors have frequency. I'm not going to the alchemy, but there's reasons for it. I'm going to stop there before I get caught up in that little rabbit trail. Our own flag, the stars are for pentagrams, witchcraft, and the Star of David, as above, so below, overlapping each other, is hexagram, used for witchcraft, blood sacrifice. That's Israel. Jews, the Hebrew Jews, are God's chosen people, but not the ones in Israel today. No, but that's God's business, not ours, not us for judge. Got to clean it out. It's called the first seal. Second World War, the Third World War yet to come. Not the one they're trying to lie about today. They're just trying to gin up some kind of nonsense with Russia and China and all this other is a fake. People can die from this, what they're ginning up, but the real one is the second seal. After peace and prosperity, it's yet to happen. Anyway, back to specifics. After all this flyover, waving and all that, they attacked the ship with Mirage fighter jets, 67. Torpedoes and napalm. USS Liberty suffered 70% casualties. 34 killed, 174 wounded. LBJ wanted to sink it to the bottom of the ocean. LBJ. All the presidents work for the Illuminati. All of our presidents have, except for the ones they've assassinated. Everyone since Lincoln. He went against the Jesuits, those lying, cheating, murdering Jesuits. The Jesuits go back to Ignatius. I call him Ignoramus Loyola. Ignoramus Loyola created the Jesuits from the Alumbrados in Spain. You know the murdering Roman Catholic Church from 1200 to 1800 AD? Let's call it what it really is. Oh, did I tell you I don't hold anything back? I don't know if I should have told you. I probably should have warned you. 50 to 68 million people murdered by the Vatican from 1200 AD to 1800 AD, and it hadn't stopped, really. All the wars were created by the Jesuits, as confirmed by even the Civil War by Lincoln. I've read you the quote before. They cause dissension, chaos, to bring order. That's how it works. Well, in this one into Liberty, Israeli spent 2 hours attacking this ship, USS Liberty. Almost as long as the attack on Pearl Harbor, one ship. The air attack lasted 25 minutes, more than 30 sorties, 12 separate planes using napalm, cannon, rockets, which left 821 holes in the ship. Israelis fired 30-millimeter cannons and rockets into the boat. It never sunk. And following the attack by fighter jets, the three Israeli motor torpedo boats torpedoed the ship, causing a 40 by 40 foot wide hole in the hull. Machine gunning firefighters and stretcher bearers attempting to save the ship and crew. More than 3,000 machine gun bullets were holes were later counted on the Liberty's hull. After the attack was thought to have ended, the three lifeboats were lowered into the water to rescue the most seriously wounded ones. Israeli torpedo boats returned and machine gunned the life rafts at close range. This was followed by the approach of two large Israeli Army assault helicopters filled with armed commandos carrying what appeared to be explosive satchels. Departed after hovering over the ship for several minutes and making no attempt to communicate. They knew it was an American ship. Tried to sink it. Tried to frame the Egyptians for the attack as shown in evidence. The Liberty was flying a huge brand new American flag. The flag was 5 by 8 feet. Weather conditions were ideal. Liberty had a unique profile and didn't look like any other boat. It had more and more bigger antennas than any other boat. It was an NSA spy ship. The Liberty was marked by American numbering and colors in front. Israeli pilots shot out the Liberty's communication equipment first, specifically jammed the ship's emergency radio signals. Did y'all know this? The Israelis used unmarked fighter jets and unmarked torpedo boats during the attack. And according to reports, fairly recent declassified radio transcripts between Israeli attack forces ground control show that at least three times Israeli jet fighters identified the craft as American. Asked whether ground control was sure he should attack. Ground control repeatedly said yes, have to attack the vessel. Torpedo boats methodically destroyed all of Liberty's life rafts one by one, which is a war crime. And you know, the only reason the Israelis did not successfully sink the Liberty and kill all the crewmen was that one sailor duct taped together an antenna, took many bullet holes in the process, enabled an emergency SOS to get out from the Liberty to American Sixth Fleet. Then the Israelis lied, said they mistook the Liberty for an Egyptian vessel. But the Egyptian ship, the El Kizer, was an unarmed 1920s-era horse carrier out of service in Alexandria. Four times smaller than the Liberty, which had no resemblance to the Liberty. Even LBJ believed the attack was intentional, and he leaked the opinion to Newsweek, but even himself, he wanted it sunk to the ground, sunk to the bottom of the ocean, and he changed his cowardly way, just like all of them were. U.S. Secretary of State Dean Rusk said, and I quote, "I was never satisfied with Israeli explanation. Through diplomatic channels, we refused to accept their explanation. I didn't believe them then, and I don't believe them to this day. The attack was outrageous." Well, that was in June of 67. Now, let's connect some dots here. Y'all, what else happened in that period of time in 1967? Now, I'm some uncharted territory here, but I think we might come across something here that might be interested. In that time period, when a plan of World War III was being fomented, did you all know, oh my, Onetahoot? Well, well, well. Did you, that's a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting this, but apparently it's true. June 8, 1967, Israel attacked the Navy vessel USS Liberty, right? LBJ wanted to sunk the GD ship to the bottom of the ocean, he said at first. Well, did you all know that on May the 28th, 1967, the same time period, the same week, that Gamal Abdel Nasser, President of the United Arab Republic, said, quote, "We plan to open a general assault on Israel. This will be total war. Our basic aim is that destruction of Israel." When war broke out on June the 5th, whoa, that's 3 days before the attack on USS Liberty, United Arab Republic was joined by Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Algeria, Sudan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Morocco. Boy, sure sounds like a little bit of biblical prophecy, don't it? The attempt of this confederacy to drive Israel into the sea was unsuccessful. And in 6 days, the war was over. Israel was the undisputed victor. A little hanky-panky going there, don't you think? Pull America into the war by killing one of our own ships, our own sinking to the ground, blaming on Egypt in that week. Psalms 83 took on a special meaning after the Six-Day War Perhaps it would have been further fulfillment before Israel's claim to the land is irrevocably settled by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign as king. When you go to Psalms 83, you'll find partial fulfillment during that period of time, but not fully. The full one comes in World War III. It was planned before 1871. Yeah, the real World War III is the final war between, is the second seal is World War III. That's not Armageddon. I don't give a hoot if it's Hagee or Timbuktu from any church, any religion. They are liars about a four-blood moon. Hagee's full of nonsense and creative junk with Mark Blitz. That book is worthless, four-blood moons. And Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons and Urban Baxter and all these preterists and Calvinists and whatever, they're lying to you. I wish days I could talk to these people up front, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose. I'd welcome that day. I'm tired of these liars like Hagee and Osteen, Copeland, and the rest of them. Your enemies, those who hate you, your people, your sheltered ones, they form a confederacy against you. Family, that's yet to happen. It's not happened yet. That's the Third World War planned by Albert Pike. Zionism against Islam. And both Zionism and Islam, both those ideologies and religions, were created by the Vatican. The Vatican created Islam as a religion in the 6th and 7th century. Islam didn't exist before the Roman Catholic Church created it. That's a fact. And Zionism was created to liquidate Jewish wealth, hunt down the Jews, the real Jews, 1897. Theodore Herzl, wrote in his diary that that was the purpose of Zionism. You find a connection between Zionism and the Roman Catholic Church as having created it. And the 1920s, to then infiltrate into Islam and to set up the coming wars, the Freemason by the name of Albani, Egyptian, created the Muslim Brotherhood. And ever since then, the Jesuits, controlling the intelligence agencies, come up with these nonsense terms like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, as fictitional alternate enemies, confirmed in 1966 as ways to control people by fictitional alternate enemies. Iron Mountain Report. Family, it's all connected to the Illuminati. Council of Foreign Relations. In America. The details of this war in 67, the enemies are in tumult, and a vivid description of the blistering threats of the opposition. They lay crafty plans and assisted behind the scenes by advisors from Soviet Russia that we helped in 1966. The State Department made sure in Soviet Russia that they received the exact specifications for a glycerol factory in 1966. The glycerol factory was built in Russia, provided glycerol to the Viet Cong, 67. And glycerol was used as a detonator in booby traps. I know that. That accounted for half of our deaths of our veterans in Vietnam. They used Agent Orange to start cancer. Then these the damn barrels, pardon my expression, as shower heads. They made showers out of the barrels that had Agent Orange in it. Agent Orange, field delivery unit, an M1965 A1 with two barrels on top, canvas on the sides, and they put water in the barrels. And the troops would take showers out in the field. In Agent Orange, barrels. The attack on American servicemen was done only by our own secret societies within our government, but also Russia, also Europe, also the rest of them. This is a fact. Now, y'all can run away from our broadcast today if you want to, but you're not going to change the truth, not one bit. You can close your ears, turn on the music, go watch some stupid ball game or some ignorant golf game if you want to, but it won't change the truth, not one bit. When you come back to it, it's still there. That's a major connection I just made to myself. You all may have known this already, but I wasn't aware that it was so close together, the attack on USS Liberty and the partial fulfillment of Psalms 83. They tried to start, apparently, World War III, thinking that's going to bring their fake Messiah, Yeshua, Sanan Emanuel. Yeah. Oh, I know about him. I know that, Jews, Israel. You got a fake Messiah coming. His name's Sananda, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He ain't going to make it, Jack. He ain't going to make it. When he comes, he's going to be here a short time, and he's a goner. Because that first trumpet will take his butt out. He's the false prophet of the Bible. Sananda Emanuel, a fallen angel. Some of y'all may think that's crazy, but if you actually look up the research, you'll find it to be absolutely true. You'll be shocked at what I just told you, and you'll find that's fact. Moving on, the attack on the military. I'm being specific in my broadcast. And also connected to the big picture. That's what I'm doing. Danger I have with that is unfortunately, sometimes I go off on different trails. I got 10 minutes to go here before I start into the videos I want you to hear to verify what I'm telling you from other people. Rules of engagement. The rules of engagement are there to affect the outcome of every war. Oh, it's a State Department policy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The reason it is to make sure in Korea you lost. Come to a neutral. When you come to a neutral, you're as good as lost. Same thing in Vietnam. Rules of engagement. Confirmed by MacArthur. Attributed to the loss of Korea as designed to enhance and to escalate the war into communists that would last throughout the Vietnam era all the way to 1987-88 when Reagan lied and said Soviet Union had been broken down. It wasn't broken down. Reagan was a liar from the start, pretending to be a Christian, just like Carter. Neither one of them Christian. Pretending to be a patriot. Neither of them were patriots. They belong to secret societies. Look up the Knights of Malta. Attach it with Reagan. Jimmy Carter said, I quote, "We must replace balance of power politics with world order politics." There's your lying Jimmy Carter. Have I got your attention yet? Have I got anybody's attention? I'm tired of these liars, man. You know Ruth Bader Ginsburg? She's in the air quite a bit lately. She said, and I quote, "Prostitution as a consensual act between adults is arguably within the zone of privacy protected by recent constitutional decisions." That's your Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But the military, back to the military, and I go back and forth on occasion to show you they're all connected. They're all connected. Quote, MacArthur, he said, "The possibility of Red China entry in the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize, block Formosa, which in effect protected Red China from attack by Chiang Kai-shek forces of 500,000 men," unquote, MacArthur. In other words, we made sure that North Korea remained communist, would be, and that Red China remained Red Communist. They use our own fleet against our own military in the Frozen Chosen, allowing 9 Chinese divisions to come south into North Korea and routed 2 regiments of their army, therefore leaving the Marines open on one flank. General Puller of the Marines said, "Well, we got them where we want them. We can attack in any direction because they were surrounded." And almost the way you couldn't blame the army regiments, the 25th, 26th, I think it was, they were overwhelmed by 9 Chinese divisions. 9! You know why? Well, let one of the generals from North Korea tell you. He said, and I quote, General Lin, L-I-N-P-I-A-O, General Lin Pao said, I quote, "I would never have made the attack and risked my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply and communication." Then came the planned defeat in Vietnam. I got the words of this pamphlet, August 1966, the State Department issued to government contractors not to boycott. It was against American policy for any contractor to boycott Soviet bloc countries, Eastern European countries. Anthony Sutton concluded that, quote, "The guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from the American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union," unquote. So in Korea, Soviet Union served as a conduit for American businesses to profit. But that wasn't the reason. It was to make sure we did not win by rules of engagement the Vietnam War. Because Americans would have. They're restrained where they attacked, where they bombed. And your generals and your colonels didn't understand it. They still don't today. The rules of engagement are designed to control your advance, control your victories, and they're designed to make sure your soldiers and Marines die or are ruined when they come back. By design, and that's a fact, by using psychotropic drugs, the technology, 26 suicides per day, they put Paul Rykoff, a former veteran, traitor of course, who's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, as head of a committee that's trying to curb the suicides of veterans. It's like the pig farm. The pigs choose the cow to be their advocate to stop the slaughter of the chickens. They pick a cow to be their intercessor. You know the cow, right, that says, "Eat my old chicken. Eat more pork." You got my point? I got a problem with this. Sometimes I feel I'm the only one, but I imagine there's other people out there. But where are you? Where are you? You're under a blood oath. That's what you are, General. You're a slave. And you fought for freedom or something or another, you call it. And yet you're a slave under the blood oath of the secret society that's going to fail. It will fail. General Admiral U.S. Sharp, Admiral U.S. Grant Sharp, said, and I quote, "From the beginning, we should have closed the harbor of Haiphong, prevented all the vital imports from reaching that area. Instead, we permitted them to import all the necessities of war without any difficulty whatsoever, despite the fact that we control the seas. It's a great mistake and immeasurably increased the casualties that our side incurred." Immeasurably increased the casualties that our side incurred, unquote. That's when they, 1966, they also sent the Soviet Union entire technical specifications for the glycerol plant in Soviet Russia. Over 50% of American casualties suffered in Vietnam came from booby traps. The Vietnam vet went over there fighting for his country, believing that. Like Chris Kyle went over to Iraq. He really thought he was fighting for his country. What they don't realize is the enemy is controlled by the CIA, Mossad, MI5, MI6, DSG, BND from China, Germany and France, the Chinese intelligence services, the Russian intelligence services, the Islamic, Arab country intelligence services. They all work together. They work together. I've proven that Monday, this past broadcast. I feel that I effectively destroyed our American foreign policy on Monday, if you really follow up with what I said. I don't get nothing for this. I don't care about me. I go about my daily routine, whatever it is, as simple as it is here in this little Andy Griffin town. But I have 2 hours that I can get the truth out, and I take every second I can of it. Then I go back to my little bit of life here in this little town. I do my little thing and feed my cat. That's what I do. That's it. I don't want nothing for nothing. I want the truth out, damn it. Sorry. You know, during the Vietnam War, that's where it all started, targeting our veterans. Right now, they're opening up Cuba to America, aren't they? Trying to bring everybody into a happy little family, aren't they? Imagine that. You know, the U.S. involvement in elevating Castro to power to capitalize on the communism we helped them develop. Oh, actually, that's true. Clinton Roosevelt, 1841, passed the documents that Karl Marx plagiarized, word for word, for Clinton Roosevelt, ancestor to FDR, Freemason. Working with Manzini, passed the documents already done, already written, called The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law, unquote. I got a copy of it, 1841. I got a copy of it, damn it. I got a copy of it. Don't tell me no. And Clinton Roosevelt, that traitor, ancestor to another traitor, FDR, passed it on to Karl Marx. Karl Marx just plagiarized. He called it the Communist Manifesto, 1848. Carl Ritter was tasked with writing the fascist antithesis to make sure by the 20th century they would go to war called World War I. It's all set up ahead of time. When you connect the dots, it's like unbelievable. The Jesuits, passing to one generation of Jesuits to the next. Now, that being said, very simply, you ask yourself, why did Cuban people allow their country to fall to communism? Did you know that Castro was a 7-year Jesuit? Castro was a Jesuit. I apologize for my language using the D word. But I'm a little excited today because I see this now coming to even I put connect dots together. Your rules of engagement were designed to foment this communist agenda right under our noses that exists even today. And you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, for example, according to Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, they could find no basis, in fact, for the CIA's contention that there were missiles in Cuba. It's even written in Robert Kennedy's book entitled 13 Days. He confirms that. Even President Kennedy, in an interview before he was assassinated, the interview was printed about a month after his death. The interview was before his death. obviously. In the interview, December 11th, it was printed in New York Times, December 11th, 1963, and I got a copy of that too, by the way. After his death, it was printed. And he said in the interview in November, before his death, quote, "I think we've spawned and constructed and entirely fabricated, without knowing it, the Castro movement." He figured it out. He tried to stop it. He's going to pull people out of Vietnam. Back our money by silver. Stop the building of the nuclear facility in Dimona, Israel. Get rid of the CIA. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Any questions? So, that little bit being said, the USA government, under the direction of the Vatican, under the direction of the secret societies, covered up foreign governments' murders of our military men. That's been going on now since Korea. Just partly. The rules of engagement are there to slow you down and make sure that the wars we fight do not get out of hand, as in victory, as in protecting, as in defeating the enemy and coming back home. They want our veterans dead. It's a veteran genocide orchestrated by your Joint Chief of Staff, by your Council of Foreign Relations that has these members. You got good generals out there. You got good officers that are subjugated and controlled by their leaders that are under secret societies. Did you know, I haven't confirmed this, but the United Nations headquarters is being moved to Israel? Look out, America. Something's coming. Now, back to these rules of engagement. The purpose of rules of engagement is to slow you down. That's where they come from. The State Department taking its orders from the Vatican. Whoa. That comes through the Council of Foreign Relations. The rules of engagement, as used during the war in Southeast Asia, continued to be one of the most controversial aspects of that conflict. But now you know why. The rules of engagement are intended to reduce the chance of friendly fire incidents, they say, and recognize international law regarding the conduct of war. It's a load of garbage. Particularly the need to protect civilians. Oh, you mean after dousing them with Agent Orange and napalm, innocence, and our own troops? Really? Something's wrong with that thinking. But in Vietnam, the primary use of rules of engagement was a political tool only. Restrictions that these rules placed on commanders beginning in Vietnam and Korea and individual fighting men became a frustrating, costly example of micromanagement taken to the highest level. But now you know why. Rules of engagement for civilians pretty much are, to explain it, is a device that's used by commanders to set forth parameters of when and how and for what duration and the magnitude, the geographical locations, and against what targets our forces can employ force. And we're talking deadly force. The use of children, women, non-combatant that we're taught to, or non-combatants, began in Vietnam. Why? And pervaded itself throughout the next alternate enemy, Islam. Every generation, starting in the 1700s, every generation had a trigger. Every one designed by the Vatican since 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, 21st century. Every single one. And it follows exactly, passing one generation to the next. Liberty, 1700s. Slavery, 1800s. 20th century, fascism, communism, later. And Nazism, communism came later. One after the other, planned exactly like it was planned in 1871. And after Nazism was extinguished, here come what Patton knew was coming. Communism was the next enemy. It's all set up. Leapfrog led to a new world order. That is all is going on today. And after communism, what came up? They already set up Islam fundamentalism. And I've proven Monday it was set up starting in Afghanistan. So by the time the communist threat was over, allegedly, the Islamic threat picked up just like that. Bam! 9-1-1 was planned in 1966. Masonic dedication of the cornerstone of World Trade Center was planned September 11th, 1966. Cornerstone of the Pentagon, Masonic order dedicated September 11th, 1941. September 11th, a very occult year for the purveyors of the death of 3,000. 9-1-1 was Masonic. Not Zionist, not Islam, but the secret societies sacrificing human beings. The Twin Towers of Boaz and Jachin was 9-1-1. The Druids, the occult, satanic, was what it was all about. Now Islam is the enemy, and they bring over Muslims to Sweden, to Europe, to America, and Detroit, and Dearborn. That's their stronghold. And Oregon, you got Al-Qaeda, former Al-Qaeda, fictitious enemy, Al-Haramain, they call it, in Oregon. We trained them and pissed them off, pardon my expression, in Cuba. Gitmo, that was what that was for. And they came over through Mexico. As children, hello, we're being set up big time. So the attack on American servicemen has to be complete. They have to have us fighting each other, and it's working. Y'all letting it happen that are involved in it. You're fighting the government, right? Well, the government are former veterans. Hello? In militia, you're former veterans, fighting former veterans. They did it in 1932, Bonus Army, remember that? They're doing it again, and you're allowing it to happen. So you feds out there, you're afraid of your job, you're a former vet, and you work in the FEMA, you're going against your own brethren that you fought with in Iraq and Afghanistan. The rules of engagement is to slow you down. That's what it's all for. Now, how do they get to them? Through the education. I talked about this yesterday. Every generation is identified to peel away a layer of national sovereignty, to peel away a belief in God, to peel away family orientation and family involvement. And when that began, I can tell you when it began, 1945, 1950. And I got evidence. Very quickly. Evidence is in a quote in the first director of the World Health Organization. He laid the groundwork for what's yet to become an attack on American way of life, our own people. Brock Chisholm, that was one evil individual. He said in 1948 to 1953, I quote, in a nice little summary, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Unquote. And they began. Now you know why Korea was what it was. Now you know why Vietnam was what it was. Now you know why they had these rules of engagement to slow you down. To make sure you had maximum casualties from our own government. Controlled by the Vatican, the Jesuit. These generals don't understand this. The rules of engagement in Afghanistan and Iraq are designed to slow you down and put you into a tailspin of confusion. I would not put it past. I have no evidence of this entirely, although there have been reports of films shot by snipers with sophisticated weaponry. I would just say it like this. You can search it yourself if you want. I have a personal opinion about it, but I'm not going to give you my personal opinion. But let me put it like this, in a non-official manner. Wouldn't it be just a quote-unquote hoot if it turned out that the Israelis were some of the snipers killing our own troops? Wouldn't that be something? CIA-trained Israeli would kill our troops by sniper fire in a heartbeat, because they did in the USS Liberty. Connect the dots. A discussion on the rules of engagement claimed that necessity for non-disclosure of rules of engagement, precise knowledge, quote, by an adversary of the limitations have been placed on use of force by Australian forces, could endanger the lives of ADF personnel. Australia, they have their own rules of engagement for the same reason, by their own country. Would do the same to their troops as well. And Britain. The secret societies have no regard for the citizens underneath them. In Russia, China, America, UK, none of them. They say that members operate under strict rules of engagement, which specifically designed to avoid civilian casualties and damage to civilian infrastructure, but also provide maximum level of protection for our troops. You want to tell the Kosovars that in Yugoslavia, in Kosovo, former Yugoslavia, in Kosovo? The rules of engagement by Clinton? It was kill the Albanians as much as the Serbs. They pretend they're protecting the Albanians. They lied, man. When I was over there for 5 years, I tried to tell them that our leaders were liars. That's why my 7-year contract only went 5. But in any case, I don't hold anything back, man. Nobody owns me. I don't care if I have to dig in a dipsy dumpster the rest of my life. I'm not going to back down. I never have and I never will. I saw things happen over there that ticked me off bad. I listened behind closed doors, complaints of lieutenants and captains and majors. They couldn't speak out because of their generals in Kosovo, Camp Bonstil and Camp Monteith, would keep them contained. So they'd sneak me reports. They'd give me reports because I'd bring them up in meetings. Some things about the UN security officers. Rules of engagement are to slow you down and put you under threat. When y'all gonna wake up now? You wake up when you search it yourself. I'm exposing it to you, and what I'm telling you, you're gonna find to be true. Rules of engagement are very perplexing for a lot of good commanders because they don't know the true agenda behind it. That's why they said, why they got this for? Where did this come from? It came from headquarters. Why are they tying this down? That's the orders. Well, I'm telling you why. In a story made its rounds through the internet and world's media, and I believe it, you can do what you want, that Israeli snipers were killing U.S. troops in Iraq and pinning the blame on the insurgents in order to enrage American troops so the slaughter would continue. And after a thorough investigation of the older story, there's more than enough evidence to point to the fact that there's Mossad that works for the CIA is operating inside Iraq and has been for years. And it would be the same way they operate inside Vietnam. Testing their wares, because the CIA does not work for the U.S. government. The CIA works for the Illuminati. They work for the Jesuits. They keep you all confused and entertained with KGB against CIA, 007 James Bond. You all know that's a movie, right? James Bond throughout the Cold War. That the KGB is against the CIA. That's an out and out lie. They work together. The movies keep you all confused. It's coming out that Mossad is going to be the orchestrators, the snipers killing our troops in Iraq. You've got Islamic fundamentalists, Muslims, Hezbollah, Taliban. I used to teach anti-terrorism in force protection and military and so forth. And I would teach, and I didn't know, I would teach that there are cells operating. One cell, two or three cells in between, wouldn't know what the other cell is doing. And that cell wouldn't know that cell, and that cell wouldn't know that cell. And so the last cell would be training the actual bomb suicide bombers or the little guys that they bring out of the homes to use them as insurgents and all that. But what the little guys didn't know was that cell was operating with another cell, and that cell was working with the Western intelligence agencies. So each one would not know. So the little insurgent thinks he's doing the same thing for Allah, Allah Akbar. He's brainwashed, just like we've been brainwashed. He's doing the right thing for his God, Allah, who was Satan. They don't know that. He doesn't know he's being jerked around by two cells, three cells back with the Jesuits, the CIA controlling him. That's why I went in to tell you how Islam was created. They've been doing it ever since. It works even today. And I've proven that ISIS doesn't exist. I've proven that Al-Qaeda doesn't exist by even the comments by General McClurney, by Hillary Clinton, by the CIA analyst. They're all confused with each other. I've played them before. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm probably going to have to go into Monday with continuing what I'm talking about today because I have a lot to cover. And I can see going into this on Monday as well because there's some things I want to talk about that I can't get to right now. So I'm going to play this, and this should work, and go into another one after this. Y'all bear with me here. This is about 9 minutes long, and this will give you an idea. Before I go there, I'm not going to talk about the education part. Let's keep with the military right now. I'll talk about this on Monday. Some things that came up today. I'm going to stay with the military. I would digress if I went to something else. But it's all connected. That's the point. But some people are not going to connect it together. It's going to be a little confusing. Because I try to connect the dots as simply as possible. So I keep it here. And, let me give you this. Now, you know, ISIS and Al-Qaeda are your Islamic fundamentalist insurgents, your terrorists. They say ISIS came from Al-Qaeda. We know that Al-Qaeda came from Afghanistan in the 1980s. Soviets pulled out, as Hillary Clinton admits fully, that we funded the insurgents, and I had to deal with and try to help chase down those Stinger missiles in my region. because I kept track of it from the field reports I was getting, and I kept the Russians, and I kept the Italian Carabinieri advised where these dadgum cotton-picking Stinger missiles were located in my region and other regions that were picked up in Afghanistan. And while we allowed 12 Chechens to get through the Pristina airport untested, and the Russians were interested, and they came to me, and they said, why did Americans do that? I said, let me try to find out for you. And I found out that it was true, that the Chechens were allowed to come through the Pristina airport untested at all. The Chechens were terrorists against the Russians. Well, the Russian lower-level commanders came to me because they were in my region in Kamenitsa. And I work for the OSCE, and I'm going to do what I have to protect the people I'm in charge of protecting. I don't care who they are. I'm going to protect who they are because I'm required to do that. And I wanted to. And the Russians provided me information I needed about the terrorist organizations. And so did the Italian Carabinieri. Americans wouldn't give me nothing except on the table by the lieutenants and captains because they were unhappy with what was going on in Camp Bondsteel by their commanders. I had a little thing going on there. I had a SIP map and everything to try to keep track of the terrorist organizations that the CIA and the MPRI was working. That's their own people. Even sent stuff to the State Department in D.C. unsolicited. Until they didn't want it anymore. I tried to brief the consulate in Pristina. After two briefings, I said, you all don't care about this. So I quit because the State Department didn't give a hoot. Then they were told they wanted me to shut up. And I told them where to stick it, where the sun don't shine. I'm not shutting nothing up. So, family, I guess what I'm telling you is that this is the behind the scenes actual going on. What they're trying to do is bring a new world order. Well, I feel pretty here. I got so much I want to tell you, but let me listen to this. Here we go.
At a 1991 closed-door meeting of fellow internationalists, billionaire and former CFR chairman David...
Okay, now this is a simulated but actual statement, but this one talking that gives the actual statement or the quote is not David Rockefeller, but the quote is from David Rockefeller. To let you know, here we go.
David Rockefeller praised his media allies, but his confidence that his words would not leave the room was later broken.
We are grateful to the Washington Post and the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and restricted their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
Redirecting the bright lights of publicity is not the media's only contribution towards such a plan.
Have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It's always been a military power, from League of Nations to the United Nations.
What is at stake?
September 11th, 1991.
In one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
That was made September 11th, 1991, 10 years to the day Bush's new, the Druid sacrifice, the satanic Masonic sacrifice is going to take place exactly 10 years to the day that Bush said that. September 11th, 1991 was when that quote was done.
There is a chance for the President of the United States,
Gary Hart,
to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
Here to drive performance. And I believe it will also be said of this age, the first decade
Gordon Brown.
Of the 21st century, that out of what will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, perhaps one even greater than at the time of the Industrial Revolution, a new world order was created. When my predecessors were speaking to this event a century ago, the world order of the 19th century they were describing was defined mainly by the balance of military power, and they saw European empires dividing the world between them. From the time of 1945, when my predecessors of the post-war years spoke to you, the world order was simply defined by the high-stakes standoff that characterized the Cold War years. These were orders were ultimately reflected by political weight and military strength. But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order. And they're doing so principally because of their economic strength and potential. And while military and political power retain their status and always will,
all these new challenges are bringing together about the biggest restructuring we have ever seen, not just of the global economy, but of the global order as a whole. And 200 years ago, a famous British Foreign Secretary said that the new world had been called into existence to redress the balance of the old. In 1990, another old world ended, dominated by the Cold War, and people talked then, in 1990, of a new world order. What they actually meant then was a new political order. And what was not foreseen then, but is obvious now from everything that we see and do, what we experience in every day of our life, is the sheer scale and speed and scope of globalization. And it's only now that we can begin to understand that the world order that globalization brings and what it's going to look like, it's driven forward now not just by the balance of military strength, the Cold War times, or ordinary political power. It's being driven forward by a seismic shift in economic power that we see around us. But what does the new world order mean for countries like ours who are looking to succeed? I suggest that the countries that are going to succeed are those that combine flexibility, free trade, open markets, with proper stewardship of the environment and investment in education, infrastructure and innovation. And the question for us is how we meet and master all these challenges to ensure that Britain enhances its competitiveness in the process and realizes what I believe is our destiny of success in this new world order. So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges for the future.
You also mentioned in here an encounter with Saddam Hussein in Iraq, in Baghdad.
David Rockefeller.
Was there anything in that meeting some 20 years ago that would have led you to believe that he'd be playing the role he is today?
I don't think so, but in the light of what's happened, it certainly makes it all the more interesting. I did it, actually, at the request of Henry Kissinger, who was then Secretary of State. I was going anyway to that part of the world, and Chase had business with the leading commercial bank in Iraq, and mm-hmm. so I was going for that. And he asked me if I would also go to see him to say that he would like to establish closer touch with the regime. He felt that it was important that our two countries communicated more effectively. I did see him, and he was pretty cold, and he said the only way we could hope to establish closer relations would be if we would discontinue our support for Israel. Well, mm-hmm. it was not likely that that was going to happen.
Right.
So it was not a terribly productive meeting, although in the hindsight it was certainly an interesting one.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
New World Order. It is, I don't know where the crazy music comes from, anyway. That's the reality. That's why the rules of engagement were designed in the first place, was to bring it about and to make sure they stopped our advance in Korea, stopped our advance in North Vietnam, stopped our advance in Iraq and Afghanistan, and to increase the number of casualties of our own troops. And it's come from generals and colonels, congressmen that are members of the secret societies. That's the enemy. Using Islam, using Zionism, using these fictitious alternate enemies as outlined in the Iron Mountain Report, 1966. You see, this is old stuff. And nobody's putting the dots together that can make a difference. I'm not funded by anybody except God, pretty much, to tell you the truth. You know, nobody pulls my strings. I go with the flow. I don't go with flow. I don't know flow. But you got my point. I'm trying to bring this to light to people. So somebody, maybe somebody out there, some bodies out there that are, have some control can actually make something happen. That maybe will touch somebody that's in control. Let's see what this sounds like.
So if you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time, we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
We're not a hoot. How about this one?
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror. He looked at the U.S. through its enemy's eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemy's Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Bin Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its...
Okay, that part's not true necessarily, because ISIS, Al-Qaeda, is there to cause the Islamic war to continue it. And here he's anti-Israel. So he has a position. But Al-Qaeda not existing is true. He's just kind of now, he's like a CIA guy that's allowed to say this to misdirect the reason why. You see, so you got to eat the chicken, spit out the bones with these CIA people. Okay, just let you know that.
Presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship with Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy.
So our relationship with Israel does not cause the war. That's the part he's lying about, or he's deceived, one of the two. This is a instigated war that's leading to a new world order. He's not going to talk about that. Now, let's talk about General McKerney.
It's going to show some of those weapons from Benghazi ended up in the hands of ISIS. So we helped build ISIS. Now, there's a danger there. And
Jim McKerney, is that good enough for you? Okay, you see, he just goes and goes. And they, you can pick out what they say. You do the search, and you start listening, and you know the agenda. It's like a checklist, man. It's like a checklist. And even here's Brzezinski talking to the Mujahideen we funded.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail, and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again, because your cause is right, and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis will be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as possible.
That's the same one that said it's easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people, Brzezinski. He lied to those fighters. He lied through his satanic teeth, man. He don't know God. He knows about the rules of engagement. Your cause is right. He wanted to use them as cannon fodder on the Illuminati's agenda. That's what he wanted to do. And even Hillary Clinton stays with her system even when she's in a congressional hearing.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated, they lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
See, how much more evidence do y'all need? And you start putting these things together and start seeing a pattern. You start seeing a pattern. How about these right here talking about Vietnam? Here we go. Largely.
Also, thank you for your service. I was there. We were winning when I was medevaced out. Would you discuss just a little bit about the constraints of the rules of engagement? I flew helicopters. They would hang kites on wire strings to get tangled up in our rotor blades. They'd lay on their backs out of the cemeteries and shoot up at us. We were not allowed to engage. Can you discuss that just a little bit, please?
Yes, as I indicated in my opening remarks, when we first entered Wei, we were the most significant rule that impacted us at the company level was indirect fire weapons, to include our own organic 60 mortars in the rifle company and 81 mortars in the battalion. And on the night of the 1st of February, our company was directed to proceed to the jail, which was about five blocks away. In fact, this is on 1 February. The battalion got there on the 6th of February, so that will give you some idea. But we were directed to take the company with a couple of tanks attached and go down Leloy Street, which paralleled the Perfume River, and to go to the jail and protect or corral the political prisoners that were supposedly incarcerated. And we weren't allowed to use any indirect fire. You know, as it turned out, the direction to do this on the night of 1 February was crazy at best. And I participated in the crafting of a message to Task Force X-Ray Headquarters in Phu Bai recommending against it. And quite frankly, 6 or 8 days later, I can tell you that had we undertaken that and taken the route that we were directed to take, that the company would have been eliminated, or at best we would have been able to escape and evade along the riverbank. And it just really points out a bigger problem, and that was the really lack of intelligence, real information that was available or known by the decision makers who weren't physically in the city. And you know, when I asked the question, we were informed that the way into the jail was through province headquarters. And I was naive enough to ask if province headquarters had been informed that we were coming. And all the territory between MACB compound and the province headquarters and jail were in the hands of the enemy. And there was 12.7 machine guns on the roof of province headquarters at that time, and a National Front flag flying from the flagpole. And so it was crazy. Air was another issue. I mean, obviously, we could not use air support at that time, but we were further constrained by some horrible weather. The monsoon had come. It was colder than normal. It was cold at night. So, I mean, we were in the 50s. And it was heavily overcast and drizzle a good part of that early period in ways. So we couldn't have used air if we wanted to. I must say that our battalion commander, the battalion commander of the 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, Lieutenant Colonel by the name of Ernie Cheatham, who retired from the Marine Corps as Lieutenant General, arrived on the afternoon of the 3rd of February and took over. Three of his companies were already in the city. And his direction to us when we started out heading toward the Fukam Canal, with the first objective being the Treasury Building, the first major objective, and that was assigned to Fox Company. He told us that if you even suspect there are enemy in the building, blow it down, and I'll worry about consequences. And I can't tell you how much that meant to us, even though we didn't, we tried not to do any extracurricular damage that you know that wasn't necessary. A point that might be of interest here is we always hear as to what the impact of a leader is on a battle, and surely the kind of fighting that went on in Wei, the principal actors were the PFCs and lance corporals and sergeants, and I'll never forget that. However, if I have to pick out one individual that was responsible for the beginning of successful military action on our part in Wei City, it was Lieutenant Colonel Cheatham and his presence on the battlefield. This was helped by the fact that he was 6'4 and a half, weighed about 250 pounds, had played defensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Colts after his initial time in the Marine Corps. So he was an imposing man physically, but he also by personality.
So you had good commanders on the field that were restrained. You see, I can also tell you that in Kosovo, real quick, Wesley Clark, a Rhodes Scholar, he takes a blood oath against you. Wesley Clark, Powder Puff Clark, had ordered a mechanized unit from the Brits, because he was in control of the Kosovo operation in June 1999. He ordered a mechanized unit when they invaded Kosovo to intercept 200 Russian Spetsnaz that was rushing to the Pristina airport to take control of it. He ordered this mechanized unit led by Lieutenant James Blunt in reserve to intercept them, intercept the Russians that were on our side, so to speak, against the Serbs. Well, no, there's a lot of going on there. And the Spetsnaz and James Blunt's mechanized unit came to drawing guns. And James Blunt said, wait a minute. He called his commander, a general, Michael Jackson of the Brits, and said, we've got a little problem here. This American general, Clark, has ordered me to intercept the Russians, and we're in a little bit of a scotch here. He said, hey, forget it. He said, I'll take care of it. And he told General Jackson of the Brits, told Wesley Clark basically where to stick it. He said, I, quote, am not going to start World War III for you, unquote. So he told James Blunt to pull away and disregard that order from that fake general, Wesley Clark. He's full of nonsense. And he's a Rhodes Scholar. He took an oath against Americans when he became a Rhodes Scholar. He listened to the oath. Go to the oath. Look it up and read it yourself. And you'll see him and Boykin, who's a Knights of Malta member, Rick Joyner, these guys, all of them are Knights of Malta, have taken a blood oath against Americans, and they lie about being Christian, not remotely so. And because it took an oath for Lucifer, a Satanist. And they pretend to be Christians. They're not. They're up to no good. And I tell it like it is. Look it up yourself. Look up the Knights of Malta quote. It's slam dunk. The Knights of the Rhodes Scholar quote, it'll tell you right there who they are. And they lie to the American people. I guess I got that clear. And so you even had in Iraq and Afghanistan, for example, there's a journalist who investigated and said witnesses for one particular incident of a traffic accident got out to inspect the damage, ignored the soldier's shots, and was shot because of an accident. And so the Defense Force investigated and concluded that the soldiers had complied with the rules of engagement. And Frank Walker of the Sydney Australian Morning Herald, March 14, 2004, said, "Our pilots refused to bomb 40 times. Quote, Australia's F-18 pilots defied the orders of American commanders and refused to drop their bombs on up to 40 missions during the invasion of Iraq. It can now be revealed in a remarkable account of how our airmen applied Australian rules of engagement. An RAAF pilot told the Sun Herald each of the 14 RAAF Hornet pilots aborted 3 to 4 bombing runs because intelligence giving it pre-flight briefings did not concur with what they had found at the target." Quote, squadron leader Daryl Pudney described how he and other Australian F-18 pilots were forced to weigh up the risk of civilian casualties in a split second before dropping their bombs. He said pilots broke off many missions as they saw the target and decided that there was not a valid military reason to drop their bombs. Quote, it appears there were fundamental differences between U.S.-dominated headquarters and Australian pilots over what constituted a valid military target. Squadron leader Pudney said under Australia's rules of engagement, pilots had asked themselves on each mission what is right to drop their bombs. This is consistent, family, going all the way back to Korea. And our troops, which I was a Marine officer, a captain when I got out, I've been on the drill field. I was a commander in recruit training regiment company, Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, recruiting duty. I've been in the fleet. I've been staff duty. I've been operations officer for a deployed battalion when I was a lieutenant, even. I've been overseas, Kuwait. I started a project there to replace the military with civilian contractors to set up security for Camp Doha. I was the one that did it in 1994. 1996, set up security for the military advisors to the Saudi Arabian National Guard to protect the royal family, help train them. And to protect the military advisors, our military advisors, I set up security with a contractor for their home securities and bases. I did that. And I was in Kosovo 5 years. I was in Congo in a State Department project manager, an intelligence project in the Congo, working with MPRI. I did that. So I know, I'm speaking from experience. I've been there. And when we're being lied to, big time, and our commanders are being lied to by the rules of engagement, and our troops are being targeted by the very country we were fighting for. Matter of fact, it's not only our country, but it's also Russia, China, Germany, the whole doggone lot of them. They don't know this. Some of them don't realize it. Bin Laden, according to Benir Bhutto, was killed before 2007. Family, I won't continue this on Monday. I'm running out of time. I know that TalkStream Live is probably already shut down, but I'll be recording this another 3 minutes, tell you the truth about it. I'll continue this on Monday. I'm not done. I realize I need more time, so I'm going to take that time Monday. I hope I made my point about the rules of engagement are there to slow you down and to increase American casualties. And then when you get home, to target them with suicides, psychotropic drugs, cancer, to set us up so there'll be no resistance when the UN takes over America for the North American Union. That's what it's for. That's the purpose, the only purpose. It started in the 1950s, ongoing till 2015, and moving fast. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And this is what the bottom line is. Those who don't believe in him, better start. Those who do, stay strong. Upon the forearm of God, a crash is coming. And we the plane. Because they've been trying to take us down. It's our own country and part of it. Who are members of the secret societies who pretend to be Americans and they're not. There you go. Family, let y'all know that my broadcast and Bible studies are played also at highpointradio.net on his network. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highpointradio.net. He has sponsors and uses sponsors, and if you're up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com. You can find archives there. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And this is a Friday, and we are gone today. And it's Friday the 13th, means nothing. The broadcast went without hitch. So, superstition is nonsense. Jesus Christ is what it's all about. Satan is operating in these countries, and the leadership in all cases. And we're coming to a supernatural public display soon. You might want to call it that. The truth is going to come out in waves. Get close to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And there's true words in the King James Bible of that that's non-negotiable. The family is getting tough. I'm going to talk about next Monday the attack on the military and the what's going on in the schools. I've got some reports that will shock you. And it confirms everything I've been telling you. Family, y'all have a great weekend. And know that through Jesus Christ, they lose. They've lost already. Don't let them put fear in you. All this on the news today, Hagman and Hagman and all these Bagleys and these guys are causing fear. That's all they're there for. Because they've lost the New World Order. It will take place up to a point, then it will be destroyed. And the only one who will do it is Jesus Christ. No human being will ever do it. But Jesus will. And he did already on the cross of Calvary. Only problem is you got to figure out which side you're on. That's the only decision you got to make. And bring your family with you. And those that come to you. Y'all have a good night and God bless and have a great weekend. This is Tom Gamble. I'm your watchman. And I'm signing off.
Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release.
Oh yeah, Bible study tonight, 8 to 9. End times events. We'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, on my Bible study. And have a great night.
I am with you every day to the end.